This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Ja, I just thank God for the privilege to stand here and just bring His word and only His word, not my word. It's a great privilege. I thank you all for coming and taking time to come and spend with our Father and in each other's company. I pray that you'll be blessed. And just take something from this word today and make it applicable in your life. About a month ago, I started to read through the Bible again from Genesis. And I don't know if you guys ever, it happened to you, but it happened to me on this occasion where you've read past these scriptures many times and just suddenly like then something else hits you from this particular scripture that you've read before, and it's and you just take something from this. And I'm going to stand still in Genesis today with Jacob. I'm sure you all know the history of Jacob. And the name of the sermon is Everything is Against Me. Well, let me start by saying that it's not the truth. Okay, so anybody, you got Bibles, some of you here that the Bibles, just turn to Genesis 28, verse 10 to 15. And those of you who don't have Bibles, you can recite it from memory. So, Amen, if you're there. Okay. So, Genesis 28, verse 10 to 15. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I've promised you. So that's an awesome promise from God to Jacob for a very bright future. I'm just reading again, and I'm with you and will watch over you wherever you go. Then turn to Genesis 42, verse 36. Now, we all know the history of the famine and Joseph being appointed in Egypt, second in command there, and Jacob sending his sons to Egypt to go and buy food, and then Simeon being held back there. So now it's the time when these brothers return home to Jacob and Benjamin, and this is what Jacob tells them. So now the sons tell him, listen, you've got to send Benjamin now with us so that we can go fetch grain. And this is Jacob's response. Their father Jacob said to them, you have deprived me of my children. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more. And now you want to take Benjamin. Everything is against me. That part jumped out at me. I've read it before, and suddenly, you know, everything is against me. If you consider who Jacob was, just now he read about this promise that God has given him, the promise that he will be with him wherever he go, and he will protect him. And now this guy says, everything is against him. Okay. So that is basically a lack of faith that Jacob stated there. And what does lack of faith do to us? First of all, it makes us say foolish things. So Jacob names Simeon is no more, Joseph is no more, and now you want to take Benjamin. That's three things, but he says everything is against me. Exaggeration. It's not true. And even today, that's the same for us. When we're in these trials, what do we say? Nothing works for me. Everything is against me. There's no hope. All of these kind of vows that we speak out and we give Satan joy when we do that. And he just doesn't deserve that, because God will never leave us nor forsake us. That is his promise. So we tend to exaggerate our trials, but we forget about our mercies. We don't name them, or if we name them, we diminish them. The second thing is like lack of faith. It makes us give rash statements, like false accusations, where Jacob tells his sons, "You have bereaved me. You have deprived me of my children," which is untrue. Maybe they didn't like Joseph and they did something to him, but God turned that into something great. But they didn't do anything to Simeon. So, knowing the history of Jacob and Joseph, there's something that we can learn from these words of Jacob so that we don't get ensnared in the same thing or the same lack of faith. And that is, we are never, never, I'm allowed to use that word now, never, when we're in trials and tribulations, never to conclude against the faithfulness of God. We cannot. So no matter our trials or our tribulations, in God's word there is a promise that I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. That is beyond our understanding. All we do, we have to cling to that and speak it into our lives and testify to it. God has made us promise. He's not going to retract on that promise. So Jacob says, Simeon is no more. If you go and read that scripture and what happens before that, nowhere does his sons come to him and say, "Listen, something bad happened to Simeon." They just told him, "Listen, Simeon has been kept back there in Egypt, waiting our return." Now Jacob goes and says, "Simeon is no more." He just concludes irrationally that Simeon is dead. So due to lack of faith, he jumps to this very bad conclusion. And then he says, now you want to take Benjamin. Yes, they do. But they want to go and get grain, go get food. But Jacob says it like it's a death sentence waiting for Benjamin in Egypt. So also an exaggeration there. So never, what must we take from this? We mustn't exaggerate our trials beyond the truth. So we mustn't say, you know, everything is against us when there's like three trials or three issues that we're facing. Jacob was as we do most of the times, well, I'm guilty. He was thinking carnally. He was thinking with his natural mind. And not stepping out in faith in the spirit. He was thinking, he was talking more like the Jacob than the Israel God destined him to be. So, hindsight is a great thing. So if you read Joseph and Jacob's history, and you consider these words of Jacob, and you know what happened afterwards, we can see that it was flawed. His accusation, his exaggeration, his lack of faith, everything, his words were flawed. Even you know, that's why I read the first part of the dream of Jacob. But if you also read through Genesis, what God did for Jacob, God protected Jacob against Esau. God gave him favor with his father-in-law. God increased his possessions. Jacob was a rich man. All of this God did for him. And then, you know, it comes like that. At that moment, he makes this rash statement. So this experience teaches us that we shouldn't focus on the problem. We should focus on God.
Amen.
Focus on him. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's got to be with you. He's got to be with us. And He has never forsaken us in the past, and He will not do that in the days to come. Like I said, in hindsight, some of us will not live to see our foolishnesses like Jacob did. He lived to move to Egypt and actually think, you know, I've got it wrong. I've had it wrong. And when I read this passage and I meditated on it, I was thinking, you know, that if you look what happened now, eventually Jacob sends them, and then Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, and then they come and fetch Jacob, and they all go to Egypt. And Jacob sees his son Joseph, which was no more. He sees his son Simeon, which was no more. And he sees Benjamin, which actually in his mind was ready to be executed. And yet, his son Joseph is the second in command in Egypt. A very powerful man, and they get favor from the Pharaoh. They could stay in some of the best land in Egypt, and God protected them against the famine. So I'm thinking, when Jacob got there and he saw all of this, did he go somewhere and cry before the Lord? Did he go and say, "I'm sorry"? Huh? At that moment, when he said these words, everything seemed dark to him. And I don't know of you, but I've been in that place where you just, you're so focused on this problem in front of you that you cannot see God's glory on the other side. God is an amazing God. Like I said, He will never leave us, forsake us. We need to press on, and we need to walk through this, and God will help us to arise above all of these trials. And like Jacob, when we've gone past it, we will look back and say, "Wow, you know, all the glory to God." I've been there as well. That looking back, even today, you know, if I look back at some things in the past where I've been retrenched and all of those things, and sitting without a job and just worrying about, you know, where's the next plate of food going to come from, what's going to happen to my children, all of these things. You know, but God has pulled us through all of these things, and He will do so again. So, our trials and tribulations bring us closer to God. That is actually a boot camp to get into God's army. Because that builds our character, that teaches us perseverance. And if we don't go through this stuff, we won't have the experience or the strength to face the next one. And each time you go through a trial and tribulation, the next one is not going to be easier. If you want to be in God's army, the next one's always going to be tougher, because God is growing us. Our road is a never-ending road of salvation, which will only and grow, spiritual growth, which will only end the day that we go to heaven. So, just take a moment and ask yourself, looking at your own character, that best aspects of your character that came from trials and tribulations that you faced, that came from growth and the things that you had to deal with in your life. All things work together for good for those who love God and trust in Him. All things. Not some things, all things. Just another, the last verse that I have here, you don't have to turn there, is Romans 8, verse 37. Now we know Paul is the author of Romans, and we know that, you know, he faced some tough issues in his life. And this is what he says in Romans 8, verse 37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Jacob said, "All these things are against us." We say, "All these things are against us." But God allows these afflictions in our life to promote our life. Jacob said, everything is against me. We say nothing. Sometimes nothing works for me. And, you know, there's no hope and all of those nonsense. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jacob's list of all these things, it's basically the three things that I've mentioned. Simeon is gone. Joseph is gone. And now you want to take Benjamin. Compare that to the list of Paul. The trials that Paul went through. Shipwreck, bitten by a snake, beaten, in jail. A lot of things. But from Paul and from that word, we can take victory. Because that showed us, and it shows us today still, same applicable thing, that we will triumph above all these trials and tribulations. We will, and we have. We just need to take time and think about this, and you'll see it. Like I said, it's the character building thing. So if you consider Joseph, I mean, what did he go through? His brothers hated him. They threw him in a pit, and then they sold him as a slave. And he was accused and found guilty for something he didn't do. And he went to prison for a number of years. And like, yeah, there's no DSTV in that prison, that's for sure. It's a dungeon in the ground. And I don't think it's very clean and was very healthy. And I don't think he had the greatest of meals there. But nowhere in Scripture we found Joseph murmuring about his circumstances. He trusted in God all the time. And when that temptation of Potiphar's wife came, he fled from it. He didn't even go there. He was so steadfast in God. And I've been thinking in my life, if I was in that same situation as Joseph, or Job, or David, who was anointed and as a king, but it took a number of years fleeing for his life before he actually was enthroned, how would I have handled that situation? Would I have murmured? Would I have shouted at God, where are you now? Why are you not present? But in all of those, all three of those names, we have the hindsight of seeing God's blessing coming through for them. Joseph, second in command in Egypt, he was a great tool in God's hand to save God's people from famine. Job, God restored all and more. And David, I mean, David with all his sins was the apple of God's eye. He was the best king in Israel ever. Yeah, so, I don't know, you can ask yourself the question as well. How would you handle these situations if you were in God's shoes? It's hectic. So this is a very, very sweet and short sermon. In closing, there's just one verse that I'm going to leave with you so that you can meditate on that. In this festive season, go write it down. If you're really down and out, go write it down. Declare it, speak it, shout it. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing. 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 Okay. Then we close our eyes. If there's anybody here that is in this place of despondency where you're so depressed by your circumstances pushing down on you that you feel there is no hope, all is lost, just put up your hand. Just put up your hand so that we can pray for you. Because that is a lie. That is a lie. We're not defined by people. We're not defined by our circumstances. We are defined by Jesus Christ. Ask God tonight in prayer. Ask Him to tell you who you are. You are the apple of His eye. You are His prized possession. And He loves you with an everlasting love. that will never fail. Our friends and our family will fail, but He will never fail. Is there anybody that just wants to reestablish that relationship with Jesus, that even haven't accepted Jesus yet in their life as the King and the Lord and your Savior? Just close your eyes. So, Father God, we thank you, Lord God, Father, for your word, Lord God, Father, where every minute or every time we spend some time in your word, Lord, you give us a new message, Lord God, Father. You just reveal to us, Lord. Keep on revealing your Father's heart, Lord God, Father. Thank you, Lord, that even as Jacob said, Lord God, Father, everything is against me, Lord. We can see that it's a lie, Lord. We see your mighty hand, Lord, in the word. Father, we know, Lord, every promise, Lord God, Father, is the truth that you have, Lord God, Father, for us. There is so much riches, Lord God, Father, in Jesus Christ for us, Lord God, Father. We cannot even comprehend it, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, and give you all the glory and all the honor. Father, we come before you, Father. Father, in our weakened state, Lord God, Father, we come to you. We run to you, our rock, our fortress, our glorious Father. You're a good, good God. A good God. And we are loved by you. We are loved by you. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Father, we speak a blessing over everyone here, Lord God, Father. That you will make your face shine upon them, Lord. Father, and that you will bless them, that you will keep them, and you will give them your everlasting peace, Lord God, Father. And everyone, Lord God, Father, I pray the blood of Jesus over our church, over our pastor and his family. Father, that you will protect them, protect all of us in these holidays where we go on traveling, where we travel, Lord God, Father, that you will keep us. I pray the word of Psalm 91 over everyone, Lord God, Father, that you will give your angels charge over us, Father, and that you are nothing, no evil shall come near our dwelling, no sickness shall befall us, Lord. We speak that prophetically, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.